Come on, everybody said a big amen. Good to see you. And happy birthday to my youngest grandson, Andrew. I love you. You're a great young man, great young man. Today, we'll share communion together at the end of service. It's an important day in the City Church. Also, I want to remind those of you who have given your life to Christ, but you've never been water baptized, you need to make that decision. We're going to have that coming up on June 5th, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock service right here. There is a sign-up sheet in the back so we can help prepare for you to experience that. But if you've not been water baptized, maybe you're worried about it, just come see me, see Pastor Ryan. Pastor Aaron's at a dance competition today. Ask any one of the elders. I'll help you with that. And it is the right thing. Your life will take on another level of giftings and blessing and favor, and it'll be great for you. As Pastor Ryan said, our hearts are saddened today with the incredible evil that took place with our neighbors in Buffalo yesterday. And we pray for the city and the families and the loved ones, families of those who were murdered by a hate crime, by a racially motivated, demonic, evil spirit. If you're new here, or if you're watching online and you've come here, you've heard me preach messages, you've heard maybe what I'm able to articulate in a sermon format. I have a message that I had put together for today, and last night and this morning, I knew God was going to change that, and I just cannot move past and just preach a message. It's a great message. It's on real love. It's so appropriate for this day that we come together. But I felt like the Lord just nudged me, and I've been doing this long enough, and even as Pastor Ryan said, doing the funeral, every time I do something like that, I get nervous. I hate to bring this to him this morning. You never get over that. And if you get over it, you're missing something great that God wants to do in you. And that is how I feel today. I feel so inadequate just to come here and share with you a verse of scripture that I woke up with on my heart this morning and to articulate just some truths in this. Yesterday, I put on social media praying for Buffalo, for peace and love. Said something like that. Somebody put a statement on there. We need to pray for the evil to stop in the world. And the reality of it is, we all like to place hatred and evil onto someone else or somewhere else. But God is directing you and I to look into our own hearts and see what is going on in our own lives. Because sometimes we just cultivate this and we don't even know that we're doing it. We say things, we act things. And I'm sitting here, I want you to know I love the church. I love you people. I love people that are here, people that are not here. I love people that have come here for a season and moved somewhere. I love them. I love people that I don't even know yet. I'm thankful that God is doing some things. I'm grateful for another new small group happening. There's people that are coming from different areas and different backgrounds that I never have been able to meet before. I love them. But can I tell you something as well? That sometimes Christians, church people, lean on God's grace to cultivate a heart of hate and just mean just to be mean. And although you may have the right and the privilege to do that, it bears no fruit to you or anyone else. And we are called, and this isn't just to be trifle or just to throw words around, we are called by God to be true lovers of humanity. It's not enough for you to say, I love God, I'm saved, I'm born again, and you must be saved. I thought of this morning, that I don't care who you are, whether you know Christ or you don't know him, you will. So the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. And that you need to make that decision today, that if you've come in here and you don't know Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you will never get to the place where you can love the unlovely, you can forgive the unforgivable, you can walk in life and not carry a hindrance or a chip or anger or some type of malice in your heart. You will never get there in your own power and in your own strength. But if you make Christ the Lord and the Savior of your life, you may not get there today, but you are on a pathway to walk the way Jesus has called you and I to walk. And let me read this scripture. This is, I woke up with this on my heart this morning out of James chapter 4. I sent it to Mo, and I said, I need to mess up my regular PowerPoint, my message this morning. I need to just share this scripture, because James says it so accurately, James 4, 1 through 7. I'm reading from the New International Version. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't you know that they come from your desires? Look at that phrase, a battle within you. It's a battle in us. I've heard some people say this individual, he had a mental incapacity. He was challenged in some way or way or manner. Let me make this comment to you today. The enemy will capitalize on any and every weakness in your life. If you suffer with a mental challenge, and I've said it before, and God help people that put individuals with mental challenges in a moment, they put them in a box and say to them, well, if you were spiritual, you'd never have that. You have no idea what they're talking about. None. You can amen me or not, I'm telling you the truth. There is help, and we need to activate that help, because the longer you allow things to go unchecked in your life, the deeper and the more ingrained they become in your life. And I've met some incredible people that over the course of life, that there's been an imbalance that has occurred in their life. And, you know, I don't even want to say they're well-meaning people, because I just don't feel that they are. They'd say, well, if you had enough faith, you wouldn't have this issue. If you had enough faith, you could get over that. It has nothing to do with faith. That's like telling a guy or a woman who is suffering from diabetes that if you had enough faith, you wouldn't have to take those pills or that injection. That's like somebody coming up to my wife and saying when she went through breast cancer, well, if you had faith, you wouldn't go through that. In this world, the Bible says, you will have tribulation. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome, or I've given you the opportunity to overcome every single one of them. Every one. Listen, he says, don't they come from the desires that battle in you? Verse 2, he says, you desire, but you do not have. And look at this, so you kill. And this just isn't physical. People, they destroy others with the words that come out of their mouth and the hatred that they spew out. And a scenario like what happened yesterday really puts things in true alignment in our lives, doesn't it? Instead of us getting mad at the person that, you know, that butts in front of us at the, you know, at the Dunkin' Donuts or wherever, the person that, you know, that acts, drives wrong, and we get mad. When you do that, you cultivate something inside of you that just doesn't go away because you just decide to turn it off. Because all it does is you sowing seeds inside of you that continue to grow up into things that you never thought would happen. He said, you desire, you don't have, so you kill. Listen to this. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. And all the time, we're just looking for God to do this. I said this in the first service, and you know, I say it, and I'm cautious because I believe with all of my heart that God wants to bless His people. I believe that. But God doesn't just want to bless you. You can just live in your little padded house, and you're everything coming to you just fun and clean and easy, and you never being a blessing to others. And I want to encourage you today to get past the prayer of just saying, oh, God, bless me. Oh, God, do this. He said, you covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you don't ask God. And he says in verse 3, and when you ask, you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your own pleasure. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with you having things or pleasures, but there's everything wrong that if all you live for is you, nothing great will ever happen for you. Nothing great happens for you or for I until we help make something great happen for someone else. And when you do that, see, the scripture says, you want this, you want, oh, I got to have this, and I want this, and I'm going to speak it forth. I believe all of that, but I don't believe it just so we can just cash it in on our own pleasure. He goes on to say, verse 4, I didn't say this. He says it in the word, you adulterous people. You adulterous people. He said, you go from one thing to the other. You're not true to who I have called you and created you to be. Don't you know that friendship with the world, not with, you know, the ground, not with the terra firma, the spirit of the world, Pastor Ryan said it very eloquently this morning, that some of us, we become so friendly with the world and with its systems that we begin to make that a part of the fabric of who we are instead of what God's Word says we are called to be. There's a lot of things floating around. There's all kinds of things, you know. And I had this in my message, and I wanted to bring it in a little bit. I just, you know, the ruling that was leaked from the Supreme Court concerning abortion and the Christians that are pro-abortion, that those two words, they don't mix. The spirit of the world says, listen, we need to have our rights. And I'm all for women's rights, but I'm all for that baby's right as well. And you and I cannot allow the conformity, the humanistic standards of this world to dictate who we are to become and what we do believe. You can't do it. He says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world, he becomes an enemy of God. That is such strong language. Or do you think the scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the spirit He has caused to dwell in us. And the Bible says in Romans, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it shall quicken, it shall make alive your mortal body. The Bible says you not only have the Spirit of Christ living in you as a believer, as a born-again believer in the kingdom of God, but you have the mind of Christ as well, the Scripture says. Some of us know better, don't we? You notice how I said that? I didn't say some of you. I said some of us. Because I don't take myself out of any of it. No, Paul said that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am the chief. And I need his grace and his help. Because the verse 6 says he gives us more grace. That is why the Scripture says God opposes the proud. Well, I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, I don't care what the Bible says. This is what I think. With all honor and due respect, my brother and my sister, my friend, what you think does not dictate what God desires. If it doesn't connect with his word, God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. And in a moment when we receive and take and partake communion together, this is a moment this morning for some of us to resubmit our lives to Jesus. Brand new. You can't go through a moment like this and not be awakened to the fact of where you are right today in this place in history. We've had these moments over the last few years that have brought us to this place. And here we are again. The reality of it is we're going to live like this until we die. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil. Well, I don't believe in the devil. God bless you. Whether you believe in him or not, he is very active. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. The humanistic desire. Well, I want to do this. Resist him. He'll flee from you. Everybody say, I resist him. Now go. I want you to prepare for communion this morning. If you did not receive a cup on the way in, would you put your hands up real high now? And one of the ushers will bring you one. Hold your hand up so everybody can see. Don't put it down because I know you think that they're going to catch you. And then, no, keep it up there. Debbie, come on up. Real love. Happens at the intersection of you and the cross. Because he gave his life for you and I. And when you make Jesus your Savior and your Lord, he begins to make all things new in your life. If you're here today and you need Jesus in your life, you've never given, now I'm not talking about if you went out this last weekend and messed up. I'm talking about if you've never given your life to Jesus, first time. Right where you're at, I want you to stick your hand way up in the air. I want to pray for you before we partake in this. Anyone here today? I don't want to miss anyone. Take the bread. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my soul was there by faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. I love that song that Debbie's playing. I surrender all. As you hold the bread in your hand today, have you given him everything? Have you surrendered all to him? This isn't a church cliche or just some word that we use. Have you given him everything today? I'm thinking of 10 families that are so broken, so wounded, so hurt today. And I think of the benefit and the blessing of every one of us to be able to be in his house, to be safe here, to hear the good news of Jesus. By the way, this was good news today. Any time that his word challenges us, corrects us, that's good news. Thank you, Lord. Just a minute, I surrender all to him. Yield your heart, yield your pain, your disappointment, anger, bitterness. Right now, I surrender that. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I surrender, God, what that person said to me, how they treated me. I surrender my anger towards that one that hurt me. I surrender what an ex-spouse, how they treated me. I surrender that. I surrender my disappointment for something that didn't work out the way I had hoped it would. I surrender all to you. I surrender all. 1 Corinthians 11:23 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Totally surrendered. Let's partake of the bread, the body of the Lord Jesus, together. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. In the same way, he took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it. Remember me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." With a surrendered life and a surrendered heart. For some of you, a surrendered mouth, a surrendered mind. Your eyes closed today. You're holding the cup. For some of you, you just need to lay your hand on your mouth and say, God, touch me. Touch me. Take the cup, the blood that was shed for you and I. When you drink it, remember what he has done. He has come to set you and I free today. Let's drink together. Ryan, come on. Spirit of God. No hatred in our lives. Of any kind. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. He's shifting something in your spirit. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. All to Jesus speak these words humbly at his feet. I bow. Oh, I feel his presence. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Feel a release in this house. Sing it to him. Oh, I surrender all. I surrender. Lift your hands as you sing it all to thee. Oh, all to thee, my blessing.
I just feel this morning just a continued leading of the Holy Spirit. And I usually tell Mo to turn the cameras off, but I believe that there's people at home today that you need to respond to this too. I just feel to open the altar up. I'm going to ask Pastor Ryan to sing that one more time. But if there, nothing changes in our lives until we come to that place of humility, because he gives more grace to the humble. But if you stand in this attitude of pride, not me, I'm, you know, I got this all together. You're on your own, and that's not good. I want to open up the altar today. You say you're here, Pastor Marty, I need help. I have anger issues. I have issues with the way I speak. I think things, and I need just God's touch on my life. I'm not going to belabor anything, but if that's you, I want you to obey God. Slip out of your seat. Come right down at the front. We're going to sing that one more time. We're going to just close in prayer. And those that obey God in this, he gives more grace to the humble. You'll see things and areas in your lives where grace will come into your life like you've never experienced it. Come, come. I'm not going to be down here after the service and say, will you pray for me? I just didn't want to come. This is your moment. This is a moment for you to come. Those of you that are online as well, you can stand up right where you're at home. If that's you and you need that touch in your life, just stand up. Let God minister His grace and His love and His hope to you today. Let's sing it right. Just open your hands up like you're going to receive something from heaven. Because grace is coming to you today.
Make me Savior, holy thine. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. May I know His power divine.
In particular, these that have come, they've asked you, Lord, with an open and a humble heart to minister healing and to change who they are into who you have called and created them to be. I ask you, Lord, to do that today. Extend to them great grace today. I just keep your eyes closed, your head bowed. I just want to speak to you up here. Just keep your head bowed, your eyes closed. You're going to see grace happen in the areas of your life that are going to bring you to tears. And I want to hear about the testimony this week and this next month. Because I sense in my heart and in my spirit today this greater grace that He has given to you. Some of you need it in your home. Some of you need it between you and your spouse, or your children, your family, your loved ones. You need it just in your heart. You just treat people sometimes inappropriately, and God's going to give you grace for that. He's going to heal you. He's forgiven you. He will set you completely free. Lord, may that be for each one in particular that is standing here and those that are at home that have made a decision. This is the day that I turn from these things and I turn towards you. I pray for greater grace today, God. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. I love you. Go in His grace today. Refreshments at the table. Love one another today. We so appreciate you.